Hello, and welcome to the Journey Artists Around the World. I am your host, Kiana the Artist.
You don't even know why, but don't worry, I'm about to tell you why.
I am your host, Kiana the Artist. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about who we are. Who we are. The Journey Artists Around the World is a platform designed for artists to market their content, promote their crafts by showing their artistic talents, ability, gifts, and powers. The platform also offers an opportunity for the audience to hear, learn, and get inspired. Through this program, we will open your mind to share and listen. It's also important for us to state the creativity who have overcome different struggles such as depression, drugs, determination, disability, and heartily welcome them to come for and share their life stories. I want to say thank you guys for coming to our show. We have our guest for tonight. Her name is Kimberly Brown. And how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing good. And so can you tell your audience where you're from?
I am in the very hot, very sunny Johannesburg, which is located in South Africa right now.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And can you please tell us more about your journey as an artist, a poet, and how your life has been as an artist?
It's been a very, I don't think any artist has had a very nice journey. The journey of a writer is very messy. It's very uncomfortable. And that is what my journey consisted of. A lot of messiness was exposed and came out in my writing. And because I think we express a lot and we also suppress a lot. So in the beginning stages of my writing, it was a lot of just release, especially coming from a very conservative home where a lot of things weren't spoken about. So when it came to finding this new voice of poetry, it was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to write all my feelings down and I'm just going to explode. So that's what happened. I exploded. I was writing about everything that ever hurt me, everything that ever made me feel happy or made me feel sad. But it was a lot of sad things first that came out, and I didn't realize how sad I was and how depressed I was. So writing actually exposed depression and anxiety in my life. But it also helped a lot with the healing process to from where my writing was to where it is right now. It opened up a very broad understanding of how emotional and spiritual and healing writing really is.
Whoa, that is so interesting. So what would you say are the accomplishments that you are proud of? Have you published any books or products or any visual content like CDs?
I have published my first book about a year ago. Do I Look African Enough? We won the award as well for best poetry, published author, sorry, self-published author for the poetry category, international award. Which is really awesome. We were also nominated for the Pushcart Awards with a few other poets from the same publishing house as I had published with. And yeah, it's been a journey with the book because I didn't think the book was possible. And a few other things have played out with the book. It's opened up a new conversation because I realized that even with the questions I was asking myself within the poems written within that book, poems written about my family, written about being mixed race, or colored in South Africa related not just to me and people within on my side of the world, you know, along my shores, but it also related to a lot of people on the other side of the world, which was really awesome when I got to share these pieces after writing the book. And I was like, okay, yeah, now I can share what I've been writing, because a good friend is like, she noticed I was holding back with performing on certain stages, live stages and online stages, and she says, I was wondering why you were holding back. And when the book came out, they were like, okay, now we get it, now you can share these pieces. But one of the greatest accomplishments for me, because I think as not just as a wife but as a mom, at some point or another, some of us believe that our role ends at, okay, you just gotta be a good wife, a good mom, you gotta work or whatever the case is, and that's where life starts and ends. But for me, it was like, okay, there's something more, and publishing the book was something more than just for me. Also to show myself, like, okay, you're good enough for this, because also within the writing community, within the poetry community, there's always that thing where we gotta make our presence known, I guess, or earn that badge, you know, where you're like, okay, you're certified, you're valid. And for me, it was that thing in the beginning, and I was rejected by a lot of people within South Africa because of my writing style. And so when the book came out and all these other things were happening with certain pieces with the book, it was awesome. I was really, really proud of myself for the first time in a very, very long time.
Wow. Interesting. So can you please tell us more about the struggles that you have overcome so far and what you have enabled you to overcome such struggles?
Self-sabotage and nitpicking on myself. I was so hard on myself. I was so harsh on myself. I was so critical of myself. I was my biggest enemy. And when a lot of my family members or people that were close to me would mention that, I would get so annoyed. And I had to overcome a lot of things with myself before being who I am now, because before it was very difficult for me to speak honestly and openly. It was very difficult for me to even share some of my pieces. Poetry was like my only way of like releasing things, but I would be so terrified to even go back and read some of the pieces. And the same with even with the anxiety attacks and the depression. A lot of the anxiety attacks, well, not because of engaging in conversation with someone, or sometimes someone triggering something, me remembering something that happened, and choosing to just sit in that memory, and choosing to sit in that hurt and myself. I was like torturing myself, and I feel like that was the biggest challenge I had to overcome. And once overcoming it, not just through writing but also through faith, I was able to achieve a lot. I was able to also become a way better person, a more confident person, a more outgoing person, and also not a person that always just, before I couldn't even share a piece without really, I'd nitpick it, it'd be a perfectly written piece, I'd edit it perfectly, and back and I'd just be criticizing myself. Nobody's criticizing myself. I just do it to myself.
And that was the hard part for me. So I had to learn how to stop doing it to myself.
Wow. So what would be your advice to other poets that's facing the similar challenge that you have managed to overcome?
Don't try to fit in a box. What
love song, you love textbook form of poetry, you love textbook form of art, even though, yes, we can give so many writing classes, we can try to teach you how to write poetry, how to write poetry. Sometimes you have to teach people how to write and do a lot of things, but when it all comes down to it, my office is the system of the poetry can be taught. Yes, you can have someone who will write a great piece, but I don't mean to come to write a piece, that doesn't mean they have the heart to deliver it. Sometimes it's just a good thing. We have a lot of pen poets, which is awesome. I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but also the balance between pen and form forms. So I feel like they criticize ourselves a lot. To come out of that, you have to just allow yourself to move. You just want to allow yourself to just be as best that you can be as best. As you know, you're always your capable of until you just allow that gift to use you, not you necessarily, who is just trying to force the gift from you. Like, hey, come on, I need to use you.
Wow. So we know that you have a poem for your audience.
Yes.
Go right ahead. Ooh, love that. That is a nice deep poem. I love that. Inspirational. So as a poet, what is like to be on our platform, the Journey Artists Around the World podcast? Nice. So I know your audience have another poem for you.
Yes.
The stench of smoke and gunpowder. The peace that once was is now filled with the stench of smoke and gunpowder. Day by day, this monster seeks to devour all that is in its path and waters the soil with blood, only nourishing the seed of hate. See, I once wrote that I feared for when the ground beneath my feet would start to speak. I also feared that there may no longer be a ground for me to stand on, so I pray, and I know my sins are many, and I am not worthy to ask of anything of you, but if you hear me, Lord, consider my plea, for I am just a peaceful fool holding on to hope that we might heal as a country again, hope that we might heal as a people again, when the streets are no longer battlefields and violence no longer our only form of communication, when destruction is a thing of the past and growth as a nation is all that we strive for this is a prayer. This is my prayer. This is the prayer of a peaceful fool.
Love that. Wow. That is so interesting. So, if you was to offer advice to the next generation of poets who wish to become a well-known poet, what would it be? And what steps would you reckon them to take?
When you start writing, you try and become like a lot of people, and people try and attach your style of writing, your style of performing, to someone, to a name, to someone they can relate to, and if you're not mindful, you'll end up trying to be like that person, because and this is what was happening to me, because someone is like, okay, you sound like this person, or you remind me of that person. And I'd go in and check up on that person's life and their writing. And then I was like, okay, maybe I should be like this person, when that's not so. And that's not what needs to happen. Find your own identity within poetry. Find your own identity within the arts. Because maybe you're not just a straight cut poet. Maybe you are... like me, I play around with music and poetry. I have pieces where I play around with lyrics and some poetry, so it's almost like a poetry. Find your identity, find what works for you, find what makes you you, find what makes you happy, because poetry and the arts is very selfish. I say it's selfish because it's something that you're just doing for you. It's something that you're doing to make you happy and not everybody else happy. Sometimes you write a poem and you think it's the best poem ever. You think it's the dopest, the illest ever. And you go and you perform it on a stage, on a platform, and you won't even get a single applause. You won't even get a single like on Instagram or Facebook or any other platforms. And that will also determine your growth within the process in the beginning, because that can sometimes be disheartening. Could sometimes be discouraging, but it doesn't mean you need to give up. It means you continue to push forward. It means you continue to do what makes you happy. Because along the road, I saw a lot of friends that gave up. I saw a lot of friends that left, and I saw a lot of friends that came back. I fought for a lot of friends to not stop writing, and I was that friend that was there for a lot of people during the writing process, because I was also trying not to give up on myself. So I know what it feels like. I know amazing people that almost gave up, and when they came back to it, you know, they just needed a rest. Sometimes you just need a rest. Sometimes you need a break, just to rejuvenate. And in the beginning stages, you don't understand that, but later on, you understand it, but it's better to learn it sooner than later, because you can burn yourself out. And I don't think everyone understands that you can burn yourself out when it comes to releasing your words on paper. So my best advice would be kind with yourself, be patient with yourself, but also don't forget that these are your words, and don't allow others to try and influence your words, because you might lose a piece of yourself along the way trying to please everybody else.
Wow. Nice information. I love that. So I know you have another poem for your audience.
Small story behind Forgotten. A lot of these poems, that almost every poem history related within the book, every poem that is history related, that has numbers, of dates, years, has been well thought out and well researched. So please do take the time to also go back and listen to or research on the years and the dates given, the accounts of certain things that happened, because history is very important. And this piece is basically on mixed race history, which is why it's entitled The Forgotten. Right. Can we talk about the brown babies? The World War II babies, the black father, white British mother babies, the mistreated and put in children's homes babies like they didn't belong babies, the ones who got robbed of their heritage, scrubbed down till they began to bleed due to their beautiful brown skin, and told that they're dirty, war orphans, war babies, occupational babies, mischlingskinder, mutt children. Can we talk about the mixed blood, the half Japanese babies, discriminated against babies because of their skin color and eyes? I'm talking about the 1952 babies, left for the streets to raise babies, white American father babies, put in children's homes babies, the forgotten babies, war orphans, war babies, occupational babies, mischlingskinder, mutt children. Can we talk about the Jarawa mixed race baby whose life was short-lived, assassinated because of his skin color, because some white man couldn't resist the beauty of a Jarawa woman and a Jarawa tribesman not wanting to contaminate the undiluted pool of a tribe that migrated over 500,000 years ago to India. You see, a single mixed race baby seemed to have threatened their tribe more than the people found out of their existence. Can we talk about the Afro-German babies? A bloodline between German and African fused into these beautiful babies, the 1919 babies, the World War I babies, the Rhineland bastard babies, French with African ancestry, German mother babies, the contamination of the white race babies, the unwanted babies. The babies had out of curiosity. I'm talking about black man, white woman loving, or is it white woman, black man loving, or black woman, white man loving, or white man, black woman loving, or perhaps it was white man, black woman raping, war orphans, war babies, occupational babies, illegitimate, mischlingskinder, mutt children. The ones whose cries can still be heard from the trenches they have been thrown into. History. Our history, my history, has built its foundation on their bodies. Home.
Wow, that is so wonderful. Wow, now that's very, I don't know. Your words are good. Your words are so delightful. So we know that you have another poem for your audience.
This one entitled The Kid in the Corner was actually towards a specific individual. I never do that, but I saw a poet, and they wrote something very derogatory remarks about Africa, and it was very annoying, the poem that they had written, and that poem was actually published on international platform, and was put in a magazine somewhere. And it was bashing a lot of things with Africa related and just poverty and poverty. Poverty is everywhere in the world, not only within Africa. but yeah, this was to that person. Speak when spoken to. Keep eye contact to a minimum. Never linger in a room in case it be mistaken for expectancy. And though you are free, remember that every step taken will be accounted for. Every bite taken from a burger reminded of how privileged you really are, yet you feast off of the crumbs fallen from the table of sympathy. Dressed in hand-me-down clothes with mismatched buttons and a hole in each pocket is a reminder that he is not your equal. And as he stands in the corner of the room, with strength in his arms and life in his legs, and his eyes cry fear, and his heart seeks for hope, but his mind is fixed on how to escape a world where poverty is always attached to ethnicity. And though his silence may be confused for submission, you see, the same way your charity is confused with generosity, when all it is the process of keeping face, ensuring that others see the pennies you throw into the collection box, then yodeling from the hills, hey, I donate to the kids in Africa. Yet you ignore the poverty found at your doorstep. You're brushing off the man sleeping in the box on the street corner and the pregnant woman next door beaten night after night after night. But poverty and violence are only found on the streets and shores of Africa, right? Right? You see, but that kid in the corner, has no knowledge that every time and every picture taken is bought and sold as the face of African poverty.
Wow, so interesting. Oh, yes, smack our fingers, everybody. We love it. We love it. We love it. We love it. So my last question for you is, how does your art impact the world?
Being in a space where I've had like at least one person come back and say, okay, I relate to that, and that's fine with me. I don't need 10 people to do it. I just need one person, and that's what keeps me motivated to say, okay, there's just that one person that relates. Even with like the kid in the corner, you know, we a couple of us laugh about that here. Some of my other African friends, like in Zambia and Kenya, were having a good laugh with this because we were laughing. And we said, we don't think that kid, you know, we never ever saw the adverts. I think that a lot of people on the other side of the world have seen with Africa, related to Africa, like connect to Africa. We never saw those adverts on our TV. You know, we never saw that kid and the fly around. So having poems like this, as well as like The Forgotten and a few other pieces like Do I Look African Enough, are very relatable. And that's one thing I always strive for within my writing, is to have pieces that are real, true, and relatable, because I know I can't just be the only colored or mixed race person within Africa that felt a specific way about our history or about lineage or about things that have happened or are to happen or currently happening. So yeah, that's what I try my best to. I try to stay true to my pen, and I know it can be difficult at times because I don't write about things that are popular. Writing about sex is popular. Writing about love is popular. Writing about nature could be very popular. But writing about certain parts of history are now also very popular. But writing about specific things and encounters and making it real, making a person see it, feel it, and go on that journey with you is rare. And I hope I do that now, and I'm striving to do it better as time goes on.
Whoa, thank you, thank you. We're just so happy that you was able to come on the Journey Artists Around the World podcast. So where can your audience find you at?
Channel as well as Kimmy KMA, Instagram, Facebook, all of them are Kimmy KMA as well as LinkedIn.
Well, thank you, and thank you for coming to our podcast. I am your host, Kiana the Artist. And we're just happy for her to come on tonight to share her poems, to share everything about who she is. So make sure you go out and check her out, her products, her books, and everything. And thank you for coming all the way from South Africa. Thank you. So once again, audience, check me out again every Thursday around the same time for our next guest. So thank you and have a good night. Bye. Have a good night. Bye.